Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Nausea from the recent Matrans jump sloshed inside Ryan Cutter's head and threatened to spill over. He closed his eye for a minute to rest it, so that the spots dancing in his vision would settle for a bit. Then he reopened it and surveyed his surroundings, using the hand torch he was surprised to find he was holding. The weak yellow light quavered against the darkness. Post-jump recon had been slow, and not just because of being jump sick. The companions had come from Idaho Falls, and when they had found themselves most recently in close quarters, they had been pursued by hounds. However, this redoubt looked to be the opposite of the untouched one with the fully stocked armory that they had jumped from. The hallway in the redoubt looked abandoned, a partial human skeleton lying up against a wall to Ryan's right. Stepping closer, he studied the skeletons of a half-dozen mice that lay connected by a string around the broken stump of bone that protruded from the military jacket.
A whole lot of years.
He wondered briefly if the necklace of mice bones had been meant as a decoration, or if they'd been food supplies for somebody who'd grown insane with desperation. There was no way of knowing. Either could be true. When the world had ended and the Deathlands had been born of a roiling nuclear womb, either of those possibilities had manifested. Another torchlight landed on the jacket of the prone skeleton and traveled about the collar and epaulets.
The dead guy was definitely military.
The voice was familiar, but didn't fit with what Ryan remembered. Warily, he turned and looked over his shoulder.
Dean?
Dean Cotter stood just out of arm's reach. The boy's stark black curly hair and vivid blue eyes, as well as his rangy build, echoed those of his father. He held his Browning high power in one hand and pointed at the ground at his side, the hand torch in the other.
Yeah, Dad?
It seemed to Ryan that he hadn't seen his son for a long, long time. His heart ached, and he suddenly felt more vulnerable than he could ever remember. Dean wasn't supposed to be here. Ryan grappled with the fact that Dean hadn't aged. He struggled to remember the last time Dean traveled with the companions. Ryan's thoughts twisted and inverted. A trace of panic quivered through him as he tried to nail his memories down, to force them to make sense. He dropped his torchlight, placed his left hand against the wall to steady himself, and closed his eye. He took a breath, trying to remember the last clear event he could. They'd been in Montana and had ridden with Donovan of the Heimdall Foundation for a time. Christy had had a voice inside her head. They'd had to see the Chosen, the Muti women with strange powers who claimed to have connection to Christy. There had been a dead woman trapped in Christy's mind who had tried to take her over.
Lover.
Christy Roth stood there. Cautiously, she reached out and took his left hand from the wall, as the right was holding the Steyr rifle at the ready. She was tall, almost as tall as Ryan, and fit. Ryan stared. Christy didn't look pregnant. Why did he think she was? Was this a figment of a jump nightmare left over from the Matrans? A cold wind blew through Ryan when he realized he couldn't be certain. Christy's sentient fire-red hair pulled in tight against her head, like it was protecting her.
You okay?
She searched his face with her eyes, her brow knitted together in concern.
I'm fine. Got a touch of mind sick, that's all.
Christy squeezed his hand and let go.
We all have a touch of that.
Looking past her down the wide, empty redoubt corridor, Ryan took count. J.B. Dix was there, short and wiry and resolute, his steel-rimmed glasses gleaming in the extra shadow created by his fedora. Mildred Wyeth stood behind him, and the multicolored beads in her hair stood out against her dark-skinned face. Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner, Doc, stood a few feet back. His long pale hair hung past his shoulders, his tall slim build sheathed in a long frock coat that held a green patina contrasted sharply with Mildred's stocky frame. He carried the Lama percussion pistol in one hand, and his black walking stick with a silver...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?